So let's see. Parak Tes opens up. Vayomer David, Achi yesh oyd asher neisah leveshol, ve'es imoy chesed ba'avur yohainasah. So David is now calling to find out if there's anyone left from the household of Shaul. He wants to do chesed, he wants to do kindness to whoever they are, for Yohanan. We remember that Yohanan said he wanted to be part of the Melucha, part of the kingdom of David. However, he didn't make it, he died. He died at war together with his father Shaul. So now David says, listen, if I can't appoint Yohanan to be part of my kingdom, at least I can do a favor to his descendants. Now, why is he asking? Doesn't he know? He was part of the household of Shaul. He was a son-in-law of Shaul. So he should really know who's around. Why is he asking? Why is he wondering? That's the question that the Malbim brings up. And he explains that, first of all, we had Shaul and his three sons who were killed at war. Then we had the other seven sons of Shaul who were killed by the Gibeonim. Now, anyone who was left was scared, they were terrified that David would now kill them. Because the way it worked back in the day was that anyone who came to power would kill any descendants of the previous king. They didn't want any living heirs to threaten their kingdom, their kingship. So, it's interesting that even brothers would sometimes kill their siblings. They were that desperate for control, they would kill their own siblings to solidify their monarchy. That's how desperate they were back in the day. So if brothers would kill their own siblings to make sure they wouldn't threaten their kingdom, obviously David, they were the people from the house of Shaul were scared that David would do the same. He would kill anyone from the household of Shaul to assure the fact that he will remain king, not have anyone threaten his kingdom. That's why they all hid. They all found, they went undercover, they kept a low profile, they didn't want David to find them. So now, he himself looked, he searched for anyone who was left. Since he didn't find anybody, he's now seeking help to find some descendant, at least someone that he can do chesed with.
Let me speak to his wife.
His wife, Michal?
Yeah.
Well, she. I'm saying for the
did
same
he speak
reason.
To his wife?
No, he did speak to his wife, but again, they were on the cover.
Right.
They're all hiding, so you know she wasn't. She wouldn't know better more than him.
It gets me. I mean, David is king because Hashem made him king.
Right.
If Hashem made him king, why should he be afraid of anybody else?
Right, he wasn't. He wasn't afraid. But other kings were...
You know, why... I kind of said, why would David go out and kill these people?
He didn't. But they were afraid. Because back in the day, you know, obviously David wouldn't do that because he was a righteous man and he was appointed by Hashem. But other kings... In other countries, the way it worked was any king would kill out anyone.
I understand.
Anyone who would threaten with the slightest possibility of threatening his
time. Well,
kingship.
Movies, old movies like that, they were afraid.
Right.
Two were born, they had to get rid of one of them to make sure.
Right.
All right. No, but all right, let's see what's bothering me. They're not supposed. He's not supposed to be like other kings. He's appointed by
Hashem. Right, but again, they didn't know that. They didn't know that yet. David did not prove his righteousness yet to them. You know, he just. I'm saying he wasn't famous. Like he didn't become. This is like the beginning of his kingship. People really don't know what kind of king he's going to be like. They're clueless. They didn't want to take any chances. They didn't know that David was such a righteous man. They wanted to keep it. Better be safe than sorry, right? So now, according to the Ma'ari Kra, not only did he want to do chesed, not to do kindness with them, but he wanted to appoint them as sarim v'shoiftim, as officials and as judges, as part of his kingship. So now that no one came forth, he's now announcing to look to see if anyone's left. Now that nobody came forth, what does he do? So Bozik Beis continues. Well, they show Eved Ushmoit Tziva. There was from the house of Shaul. There was one Eved left, one slave left. This Eved was an Eved Knaini, and he was from the household of Shaul. Vekru lo el David. They call him. He's summoned to David. Why is David asking him, are you Tziva? Obviously, if he's coming to him, this is obviously Tziva. Why is he asking him who he is? Commentators explain that after an Eved Kanani, after a Gentile slave would be freed, he then would become Jewish, and therefore he would change his name to a Jewish name. So now, initially, his name, when he was still a slave, his name was Tziva. So David is now asking him, are you still a slave? Is your name still Tziva? Or were you freed, and did you change your name to something else, to a Jewish name? That's really what he's asking him over here. And he asks, Vayomer Avdecha. He says, no, I'm still a slave. I'm an Eved. My name is still Tziva. Vayomer HaMelech HaEfes Oid Ish LaVeis Shaul. Is there anyone left from the household of Shaul? Ve'esal Imi Chesed Alakim. I want to do Chesed with him. Vayomer Tziva El HaMelech. Tziva turns to David and he says, Oid Ben Lihoinasan Chereg Laim. Now Tziva was hoping that David would not give anyone any honor from the house of Shaul. So he's telling him, yeah, there's this one guy left, he's a paraplegic, he can't walk, both of his legs are paralyzed. So David asked him first, Ha'efes oidish leves Shaul, is there anyone left who's worthy of me doing chesed with him? And Tziva is answering him, no, there's only this one guy who's paraplegic, he's not worthy of you appointing him. So David says, where is this man? He's in the place in the house of Ben Amiel in Loid Davar. Now Loid Davar is the name of the place, but what he's also telling him over here is, the Gemara says that Loid Davar is really referring to the fact that there is nothing in him. Meaning Tziva is telling David, don't think that this man is wise and is full of the wisdom of Torah. Rather, there's nothing in him. Loid Davar. There's nothing in him. So he's not worthy of being appointed as an official, as a judge. He's basically trying to dismiss this whole quest of David to try and appoint someone from the household of Shaul. Vayishlach HaMelech David. David sends for Mephibosheth. Vayikachehu mibeis Machir ben Amiel miloy Davar. He takes him from Machir ben Amiel, from the place of Loy Davar. Now why was he called Mephibosheth? Let's see. Vayavim Mephibosheth ben Yohanan ben Shaul David. Mephibosheth, who was the son of Yonasan, comes to David, Vayibal upon him, Vayishtachu. He bows down to him, and says, Vayomer David Mephibosheth, Vayomer Hina Avdecha. David says, Mephibosheth, and he says, yes, it is me. Now, Chazal say, why was he called Mephibosheth? Because he was Mevayish Pnei David Bahalacha. He was so full of the wisdom of Torah that he would insult David when it came to learning Torah. He was so way beyond the wisdom of David that he would so to speak insult him. That's why he was called Mephi Vaishas. Vaishas means to insult. Mephi is a play on the word punim, which is face. He would insult the face of David Ba'alacha. And when he came, first, Tziva, the slave, told David, no, he's nothing, he doesn't really know anything, he's paraplegic, he's not worthy of being appointed. And then when he came to David, it turns out that he's Mephibosheth, that this is Mephibosheth, someone who, his wisdom is so great, who, to the extent that he embarrasses David when it comes to Halacha. And so, on the contrary, what Tziva told him is exactly the opposite of who Mephibosheth really was. David tells him, don't worry, I'm not planning to kill you. I don't want to harm you in any way. He also says, I will do kindness with you for your father, Yohanan. He's doing with him two major favors. First of all, he's returning to him all the land that belonged to Saul. Secondly, he is inviting him to be a guest at a guest of honor at the table of David. So now let's talk for a few minutes about the first favor. The first favor is that he's planning to return. Pay attention to the words. He's planning to return all the land that belonged to Saul. First of all, so there's a few issues over here. First of all, what does it mean to return? You can only return something that belonged to him in the first place. If it belongs to him in the first place, then it's not a chesed. It's not a favor. You're just returning something that belonged to him in the first place. That's not a favor. You're doing something that's supposed to be done. Right? You're not. It's not a favor. So if you want to say that it didn't belong to him, so how can you say that he's returning it? He's not returning if it never belonged to him. So what's going on over here? Secondly, how could he go ahead and just, you know, decide, okay, now all this land, all this real estate is now going to belong to you? Does the kings have such power? So there are a few pshatim over here. Rashi says simply that the king has the ability, he has the possibility to switch around the nachal, to switch around the land from one person to the next. And that's what David was doing over here, because it says in the pasuk, it says what's called the mishpat hamelucha, the rules of the king. It says he will take your fruits and your land, and he will give to his slaves. So we see that a king has the ability, he has the possibility, if he wants to go ahead and switch around the land of one person and give it to somebody else.
Now, that thing that bothers me. All the land was given out when they gave out the land. Whoever told them said, "Who? This one get this?" And said, "How can he come and say, I'll give it back?" How could he took it away from him? I mean, they may have had a war or anything else, but how could he take away his land that it was given in the, by Hashem?
Well, that's one of the privileges of being king. It says in the pasuk, "V'sdeisechem es karmechem yikach." He will take your fruits and he will take your fields. This pasuk was said to the Jewish people when they came and requested a king from Saul, right? Right. Hashem was not so happy about it.
Right.
He said, listen, a king is not going to be so good for you. He's going to go and he's going to take your fields, he's going to take your land, right? Yeah, what you want? He's trying to intimidate the Jewish people
not to have a king,
right?
Yeah.
So this pasuk was being told...
Yeah, remember
we spoke about this. So that's why it was said. You're right, it doesn't make sense, but that was one of the privileges that was given to the king to decide who gets what.
Right?
Even though Hashem decided otherwise, the king can go ahead and change it. So that is the pshat of Rashi. The Radak is not so happy with that. He says, first of all, why is that called a chesed? That's the question we started off with. Why is that a chesed? Right? If it belonged to him anyway, then it's not a chesed. Now, let's see. Who are the living heirs of the household of Saul? Who do we have? We have Yohanan, and the only living heir of Yohanan, which is Mephibosheth. He was the only son of Yohanan that's left alive. And we also have the Pelegesh, the concubine of Saul, Ritzpah Bas Aya. She was a concubine to Saul, and her descendants also deserve, they're also considered to be heirs of Saul. Right? So if so, how could David go ahead and decide, okay, all the other living heirs from the concubine of Ritzvah Bas Aya, they don't get anything. The only person, the only heir that will get, that will inherit the land of Saul will be Mephibosheth. How could he go ahead and decide that? It's one thing to take one thing from the other and give it to somebody else, but to go ahead and decide that the only this heir will inherit Saul and nobody else. Right, if you want to say that a king has that power, the problem with that the Radak has, is that it's not, what do you call it, a chesed? A chesed is when you do kindness to somebody else. If David would go ahead and take part of his own fields and give it to him. If he likes, just okay, that's a chesed, that's a kindness. I'm giving, taking my own stuff, I'm giving it to you. Okay, that's nice. But to take it from somebody else and give it to one person, why is that a chesed? It might be a chesed to Mephibosheth, but it's definitely not a chesed, it's definitely not kindness to the other people, right? Yeah, exactly. That's the problem that the Radak has with that pshat. Another question he has is, it says, Vashivaisilach. It says, I will return it to you. Right? Meaning that before I gave it to you, it belonged to you before. Right? It belonged to you previously. If I can only return something to you that belongs to you before. But if it never ever belonged to him, how could you call it returning? You're not returning, you're just giving it to him as a present or as a yibusha, as an inheritance. Yeah. That's another question. One more thing he points out is that it says b'mishpat melucha v'stoksechem es kamechem yikach. The Radak explains that according to Chazal, what that means is that it's only referring to the fruits who grow right here at this point. It's not referring to the whole field. A king does not have any ability to go ahead and take a whole field out of somebody's possession and give it to somebody else. He doesn't have that ability. And he proves it. How do we prove it? He proves it from the famous story of Kerem Navois Yisraeli. Navois was, when Achav was king, Achav coveted one of the fields, one of the vineyards of Navois. Apparently it was a very exclusive vineyard that produced very fine grapes that were perfect for wine. And he coveted that particular vineyard. What did he do? Izebel, his wife, gave him the bad advice. She was obviously a very evil woman. She gave him advice to go ahead and hire two witnesses that will witness falsely against Nabal.
And get rid of him.
Get rid of him. Get him killed. And then you go ahead and you're free to take his vineyard. And that's exactly what he did. Whatever, it's a long story over there. We'll get, the point is that it's proven from there that Achav did not have the power to go ahead and just take his field. Because if he did,
was alive.
What?
While he was still alive.
He was still alive, yeah. He did not have the power, because if he did, he would just go ahead and say, listen, buddy, it's my field. I know that you own it, but I'm deciding that it's going to be mine now. Obviously, he does not have that power, because if he did, he would have done so. So the Radak proved from there that doesn't mean the king can go ahead and just take control over whatever field he wants. And another final point he makes is that it says in the pasuk, it says yikach v'nosan la'avodav, he will take your fields and he will give it to his slaves, not to himself. He'll give it to his slaves, meaning he can use it as payroll. He can pay his slaves with it, but he cannot take it for himself or give it to some random person, right? Because it only says in the pasuk he can give it to his slaves. Therefore, because of all these questions, the Radak explains that what happened was is David. He really got control over all the assets of Shaul once Shaul passed away. Because the way it works is when one king passes away, he gives away all the assets of the king now belong to the new king. That's the way it works. He's saying something. I jumped the gun. He said something a bit different.
I would think that would go on in the same family.
Right. Sometimes it's the same family, but no. He says something a bit different. The Malbim actually said what I just said, but the Radak explains that according to the law, it really belonged to David. Every asset that was owned by Shaul belonged to David. When David was appointed to be king, that was supposed to happen. But since Shaul did not accept the appointment of David, the fact that he was now king, therefore he's now considered to be a Meired B'Malchus. He's rebelling against David, because it was famous amongst all the Jewish people that David was now king. And he was appointed by Hashem. And therefore, anyone who rebels against the king, all of his personal assets, all of his real estate, and his fields, and his homes, now belong to the king. That was the rule. And therefore, everything that belonged to the Shaul, that belonged previously to Shaul, since he rebelled, him and his household rebelled against David, the rule was that anyone who rebels against the king, everything that belongs to him, now belongs to the king. And according to that, it makes a lot of sense. Because really, previously it belonged to Shaul. And Mephibosheth should have been the only living heir that would inherit that real estate. But because Shaul rebelled against David, it went to David. And now belonged to David. And now David is going ahead and returning it to Mephibosheth. That's the chesed that David is now doing to Mephibosheth. That's according to the Radak. So the Radak really makes a lot of sense. It fits into the Pasuk, because it's a chesed. Because now David, really it's his. Because, you know, because Shaul rebelled against him, and therefore everything that belonged to Shaul now belongs to David. And now he can go ahead and decide what he wants to do with it. It's his to give away. And therefore he can decide, okay, I'm going to be returning it now to Mephibosheth, because it belonged previously to Shaul. That's the pshat of the Radak. Let's see one more pshat. One more pshat is brought down by the Malbim. The Malbim says that there's a difference between anything that belongs personally to the king, meaning his own personal assets, and the assets that belong
to somebody else
to the king, meaning to the king of the Jews. Meaning whoever the king is, these are his assets. Anything that's needed for the king, that's something else. Yeah. So like now,
belongs to the government.
Yeah. So anything belongs to the government, to the king, through him being a king, that's different than his own personal assets. Yeah. So now, when Shaul was appointed to be king, he was very poor. He did not own anything. When once he became king, then, through him being king, he now owned all these fields, right? All these fields and all these houses. And since it belonged to him through him becoming king, there that goes over to the next king in line. Those assets go over to the next king in line, and that's why it belonged now to David, because now since he's king, first of all he went out to war against the household of Shaul, and he was victorious. Therefore, anyone who's victorious, he owns now all the assets that belong to the previous king. And secondly, he was now the king, and therefore all the assets that belong to the previous king now belong to the new king. and the favor that now David is doing is saying, okay, now it's true, all these assets now belong to me because now I'm king. But I'm now going ahead and returning it to you because that's what I want to do. So again, it's similar to the pshat of the Radak, that it did belong to Shaul previously when Shaul was king. So he is returning it, and it is a chesed because he doesn't have to. It really belongs to him because he's the king. And he's now going ahead and returning it to Mephibosheth. So he's doing him two favors. First of all, that he's returning all these fields and assets to Mephibosheth. Secondly, that he's now inviting Mephibosheth to be part of the household of Shaul, of David, and he's going to be eating on his table every day. He's going to be the guest of honor. And the second favor of him being the guest of honor was due to the stature of Mephibosheth himself. Meaning, because of his wisdom in Torah, that's why he's now inviting him to be part of his table.
I mean, he's part of the king's court?
Yeah.
Basically an advisor?
Yes. Yeah. Pasuk Ches continues, V'yishtachu v'yomer me'avdecha. He bows down to David and he says, me'avdecha. So for the first favor, it says, he bowed down for the first favor. And then for the second favor, he says, "Me'avdecha, I am now your slave." Kifanisa lakel v'meth asher kamoini, because you wanted someone as lowly as I am.
I don't understand the pasuk. What do you mean? Upon such a dead dog as I am.
Right.
What is he trying to say?
He's trying to say that really you should have killed me, right? You could have killed me, like any other king would have done. But, you know, so I really am meaningless to you, right? Why are you doing me such a, you know, not only you're not killing me, but you're giving me all this land, all this real estate, and secondly, you're inviting me to be part of your table.
Yeah, but before he told you, he told him why, because of your father.
Because of Yonasan,
told him why. I mean, now he's saying, I'm doing this kindness for you because of your father. And now he says, "So what?" I don't really know what is he trying to say by that.
You're right.
He told him, because of your father, I'm doing this for you now. You deserve it because he's got
to
help me.
Right. I'm like, he has to give. I'm saying he's doing a favor for his father. He doesn't have to do it to his son. You know, he doesn't have to pay back Gernison's descendants. It's really a very righteous thing to do.
I don't understand the word. He says, "Ma avdecha ki panisa el akelev ames asher kamoni." I mean, he degrades himself so much by saying that.
Right. See, he's talking to the king. He's talking to the king.
You can see, all right, he says, you don't have to do it. But why does he have to say...
why does he have to lower himself so much?
I'm a dead dog. I mean, you know, a killer of a mace, a sick, I'm like me. Why? All right.
Yeah, no, I hear. It's a bit...
That he's crippled, you know, and that's...
Right.
Can't do much, but he got a lot of kids and he gets a bunch of slaves.
Right.
Explosive.
Well, that's not Mephibosheth. That's Tziva. Tziva had a lot of kids. All Mephibosheth had was one son. That's all he had.
Why should he feel so bad?
Could be the condition.
I mean, he makes himself like
worse
than nothing by saying
what about
this.
The economic condition.
He's degrading himself.
The slave has
What did he do? That he should think he should be degraded.
Right, he didn't do anything, but, you know.
And he gets
David could have killed him. David could have killed him, and now he's honoring him.
Right,
not only he's not killing him, but he's honoring him, and he's giving him a very wealthy position.
Uh-huh.
Okay, I hear what he's saying. Let's continue. Vayikra melech al tziva v'narashol. V'yemer elam. David now calls to tziva, the slaves, and he tells him, kol asher hayah l'shol l'chol, beisam nasati l'ven adonecha. Everything that belonged previously to Shaul and his household now belongs to Mephibosheth, to the son of your master. You will now work for him, you and your sons and all of your slaves. Tziva had 15 sons and 20 slaves. So he had a lot of people that he was in charge over. So now the way it worked was, in those days, that you didn't come to the king's lunch hungry. It's not considered to be an honorable way to come to the king. You don't come, okay, I'm starving, what's for lunch? You know, come on, let's shovel it in. Right? You don't do that. The way it worked was, you would first eat at home. You know, you would eat a meal. Then you would come to the king and sit down and, you know, enjoy the festivities. That's a more honorable way to do that. So he's telling him, I want you to go ahead and feed Mephibosheth at home. You are in charge of making sure that he has enough to eat at home. And then he's going to go ahead and come to my table and he's going to join me for the meal. Now, don't think that you can get away with, pulling monkey business and trying to fool Mephibosheth, because again, Mephibosheth was lame. He was a paraplegic. He couldn't really move. They didn't have wheelchairs in those days. He couldn't really move. So Tziva can easily take advantage of Mephibosheth. So David is telling him, don't be so quick to take advantage of him. He will be coming to me every single day, joining me at my table, and I'm going to get a full report on everything that's going on in the house. So don't try to pull off any monkey business over here. Anything you tell me, I will be willing to do. Now, Tziva is saying he will eat on my table, on Tziva's table, just like any one of your sons. I will make sure that he's well fed. So he's assuring David that he will feed him before he comes to eat the meal with David. Mephibosheth ben Katan u'shmei Micha. Mephibosheth had one young son. His name was Micha. We're going to encounter Micha later on. Chomoshev based Tziva avadim Mephibosheth. Everyone from the household of Tziva are now slaves to Mephibosheth. So his 15 sons and the 20 slaves that Tziva personally had are now slaves to Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth Yeshu b'Yerushalayim Kel Shulchan HaMelech Tomit Hu Oichel. Mephibosheth is now sitting in Yerushalayim because he basically moved to Yerushalayim because now he's part of the household of David. V'hu Piseach Shtei Raglav. He was not able to walk.
I mean, this seems to be redundant. We know that already. We know
right.
He's lame. He
we know that from way
before.
Back.
I mean,
right.
What is the Pusik telling him? He came and he ate, and he was lame. Mm-hmm. We know he was lame from before. He already told him
right.
That he had a lame son. And
this is the third time already.
It seems to
right.
Be extra.
Well, the reason...
He's telling us something.
The reason why the Pusik is telling us over here is because it's explaining why he had to move and live in Yerushalayim. And he could not live in any city that was far or any city that was even outside of Yerushalayim. Because he was lame, it was really difficult for him to travel. That's why he had to live so close to David. Because he had to come and eat with him every day. So that's why he had to live so close. That's why it says over here that he was lame.
He has this little boy, Micha.
Micha, yes.
Is this the same Micha from later on?
Yeah, we're gonna encounter Micha later on.
People had a lot of... all these people, and they all had a lot of children.
Yeah, well, look, Mephibosheth only had one son.
Children.
Mephibosheth only had one. That's not a
no,
lot.
No, but I mean, this
Tziva. Tziva has 15, yes.
He had 15 sons, and then he had 18, what is it?
I thought
15 sons and 20 servants.
Right, right.
Like 15 sons, and I'm sure not for one woman.
Right, right. Yeah, those days they would have more than one wife.
I thought Micha came out of Moshe Rabbeinu. From
no, that was a different. That was a different Micha.
A different Micha.
Yeah. Yeah, we're gonna see Micha later on.
All right.
So now, the reason why Mephibosheth was lame was because we mentioned this before. While his caregiver, when he was a little kid, he was 5 years old, and the nanny was running away when David took over, she was afraid that David would try to kill out all the household of Saul. So as she was running away, she dropped Mephibosheth, and that's how he became lame in both of his feet. That's how he became a paraplegic, and that's why he couldn't walk. Okay, we have a few more minutes. Let's start a Perikyud. V'yacharechen. After this, v'yomas melech b'ni aman v'yim lech chanun b'noi tachtav. After this whole episode, the king of b'nei Amon died. V'yim lech chanun b'noi tachtav. His son, Chanun, was king next. So now, as we recall, Amon was a very good friend of David. He actually did a personal favor to David. When David left his family by the Melech Moav, by the king of Moav, what did the king of Moav do? He killed out the whole family of David, except for one of David's siblings who managed to run away. He ran away to the Melech of Amon, to the king of Amon. Amon protected him from the king of Moav, and David now owes a favor to Amon. So in this parak, we're going to see how he tries to go ahead and pay back the favor. Does not exactly work out so well. We're going to see why. Vayomer David, esa chesed imchanu ben Nachash, kasher asa aviv imadi. I will now go ahead and do a favor to Hanun, the son of Nachash, just like his father did a favor to me. I will now do a favor to him. Veishlachu David lenachamai biyad avadam el aviv. He sends his men to console Hanun over the death of his father. David's men and now reach the land of Amon. The ministers of Amon tell Hanun, what's going on over here? You think David sent his men in order to honor, to respect the memory of your father? His real reason is not because he cares about you, he wants to repay the favor, and he wants to console you over the death of your father. What he's really planning to do here is he's planning to spy on your land. He's trying to take over. Remember, David is a warrior. He basically went out to war with everybody and defeated them. He came out victorious, pretty much every war he went out to. And they're now very worried that he's sending now men to spy on the city to find out the weak points, and they're suspecting that David is trying to go to war against them. So what does Hanun do to the men of David? Hanun is Avdi David, he goes ahead and he humiliates the men of David. He shaves off half of their beard. He cuts off their clothes in half, and he sends them off. So this is a very humiliating thing to do. First of all, because the old men those days had beards, and it was a very humiliating. Now they couldn't just go ahead and just shave the other half of their beard, because it was considered to be a very degrading thing to come clean shaven. It wasn't. The Radak points out that. You know, it's a busha, it's an embarrassment for the Jewish people to shave their beards. And even though where we live nowadays, this is the Radak speaking, who lived 800 years ago, even though nowadays the countries where we live, most men shave their beards, so it kind of became the custom to shave our beards. That's the Radak says, and this is 800 years ago. But back then, in the time of David, it was not considered acceptable to go ahead and walk around clean shaven.
Yeah, but that... Okay, that's one thing, but he cut out their clothes too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Made him walk around half naked.
Yeah, yeah, it was a very humiliating thing. Now, why did this happen?
To shave half or just to cut it short?
No, he just literally shaved half, right on the middle. So why did this happen? David is trying to be nice, right? He's trying to repay a favor. Why did this happen to him? So the Gemara says that Hashem told David, basically, you cannot go ahead and make peace with any of the seven nations who lived in Eretz Yisrael, or for the Amon Moav, leTidreish Shleimasam v'Tivasam Adayilim. You would not ask, not favors, don't make peace with them, don't try to be nice to them forever. These are the enemies of the Jewish people. And because David tried to go ahead over here and ask and reach out and be extra nice to them, that's why this ended up happening to his men. Okay, we're going to stop here. We'll continue this story next week. Thank you.